7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are going to be breaking down some of the preseason football that we saw this past week. And again, we are in another than Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Hit us up on our email, ponycakesports@gmail.com. And you guys can always check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com. Also, guys, do yourselves a favor. Go to our buddy's website, cleatgeeks.com. Check them out. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles on their website, going from NFL to MLB, wrestling, all that good stuff. They plug our podcasts on there. So do yourselves a favor. Check that out. And then also, we're going to be talking about some guys later on in some of these games that we will be talking about on DraftingSleepers.com. So hit up DraftingSleepers.com. It is going to be the community that you guys can talk about some of the deep sleepers that some of the guys on this podcast and some of the guys on that website are going to be targeting later on. So let's go ahead and get to it.
It's still weird coming out of commercials. It's like we're professional or something.
Yeah, you got to time it right. I got to look at a computer and, you know, just kind of give you guys the points.
Yeah.
Point.
We should really have someone doing all this nonsense for us. We are the best in the business, you know. We keep winning league after league after league. Probably the smartest people in this business. If anyone watched that ESPN Marathon of Fantasy, good Lord, they should have us on there and paying us all millions of dollars.
Oh, you mean Charlottesville 2.0? Jesus Christ, those people. What are they doing?
Too soon. That was crazy.
No, it was the nuts. Auction. It was nuts. What are they doing? They have to know better than that.
I think Donald Trump owns ESPN.
Jeez Louise. I mean, come on, man. That's not – like, everyone who saw that, it was instant across Twitter. Everyone just said, ESPN, what are you doing? Just not good.
They just kept doing
it, too. Overall, not good whatsoever. Absolutely ridiculous.
If you guys need somebody to help you steer your fantasy ship this year, we are the ones to look at.
Pony Keg Sports, listen, we are – going to do everything we can to make sure you win championships the same way us here at Pony Keg Sports. I can't wait. Our pro league this year, we're going to knock out every single other fantasy football podcast. We're going to knock out Sean Merriman. We're going to knock out anyone you could think of. We're going to knock him out.
We're going to knock his lights out.
That was good. I like that. All right, let's go ahead and let's move on to some of the preseason stuff that happened and some of the bigger stories that are going on right now.
How excited were you guys for the first week of preseason? Like, not the Hall of Fame game, but the first week of preseason.
Let me tell you this. I have been watching the CFL for weeks now, all right? You guys know this. I've been texting you guys every single week. I'm watching the CFL. It is just not the same. I am messaging you guys on Snapchat highlights of the CFL.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
Good highlights, but still highlights of the CFL. And now NFL football is back. Granted, preseason, but it is back. And what a way to watch it. A lot of rookies coming in. You have the rookie quarterbacks, which we're going to get to in just a minute. You have a lot of the rookie running backs, which they are just highlights of these rookie running backs, just the touches that they've gotten.
Just dirty.
And it's just, it's crazy. And it's an exciting time. So,
I could not have been more excited. The rookie quarterbacks were a pleasant surprise for me. I know a lot of people have been talking, you know, everyone was down, myself included, on this rookie quarterback class, and they came out there regardless of what type of talent it was against and at least gave their teams hope. And that's all you can ask for. You know, and multiple, you know, now Mitchell Trubisky, you know, people are saying that he should start. Absolutely nuts. You're talking about DeShone Kizer going out there and putting on absolutely just a dirty game for him, an absolutely just a phenomenal game. The Chiefs guy,
Mahomes.
Thank you, Patrick Mahomes, already being moved up to number 2 on the depth chart. You know, Andy Reid is just hidden under that big fat Santa Claus belly is a 3-inch hard-on for every time Patrick, Patrick Mahomes throws the football.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I loved Patrick. I'm going to start just on the evaluation. Patrick Mahomes looked great in his preseason debut. With that being said, a lot of his quote-unquote highlights that the four-letter network that everyone else was saying, look at this throw, look at that. He's still throwing off the back foot.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And he is still throwing Jay Cutler throws. Only agreeing with my evaluation of he's a Jay Cutler-esque quarterback.
Well, I want to first start off with the Texans and the Panthers because we had two rookies in this game.
I thought we were talking about good quarterbacks.
And we had Deshaun Watson, rookie quarterback. Tom Savage started the game. And he finished 9 for 11, 69 yards. But I'm going to tell you this. I thought he looked like hot garbage. I did not like any of the throws that he made, regardless if they were 9 for 11 on completions. I thought he ran the offense. He didn't run it very well. I thought it just looked makeshift. I did not like what I saw out of Tom Savage in the first unit.
Deshaun Watson definitely stole the show in my eyes. He was 15 to 25, 179 yards, had that rushing touchdown. He made that Texans offense look like a real NFL offense. And I think Texans fans have been praying and hoping for that. They've been – I feel bad for that offense or the fans for the Texans, in all honesty. They've been carried by that defense, and Watson, I think, gives them a better chance than Tom Savage.
And I know Tom's stance on here is praising Deshaun Watson. I'm going to be the middle guy because I know Tim is going to bash it a little bit. I thought Deshaun Watson was mediocre at best. I didn't think he was lights out, and I didn't even think he was the worst. I thought he was exactly what I thought he was going to be in this first game, and he was definitely not a Mitchell Trubisky, and he was definitely not a Tom Savage in this game. He showed us glimpses of very good quarterback play, and then he showed us glimpses of why people considered him not the top quarterback in the draft.
Did you say Tom Savage?
Or yes.
Yeah, I think he said Tom. Is, I mean, it's fine. Tom Savage is the quarterback of the Houston Texans. So
yeah, that's
Tom
what I said.
I know. But you're saying Tom Savage didn't look that great. It doesn't matter.
No, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't the best where it was.
He's not the best, but my problem with Deshaun Watson is the only rookie quarterback that I saw come out there in a pivotal role for teams, right? Or first-round draft pick role, even into the second round, that – he still looked like Deshaun Watson from Clemson. Looked like the same exact guy. That was my problem with him. All I could think of, and you guys heard it nonstop here with the Chicago media, of the Bears should trade back and just end up taking Deshaun Watson. This is exactly what I didn't want. He had the rushing touchdown. That's good and well. That's fine. But he still missed numerous guys.
He did.
He had terrible down-the-field throws. I was not impressed at all. It's not meaning to bash him, but at some point, you would hope to see some sort of growth. Mitchell Trubisky, and especially the way we've portrayed him, the way that the league has portrayed him from the four-letter network to the Chicago Bears, is an absolute moron who doesn't know how to do a hard count, doesn't know how to take the ball under center. And Deshaun Watson showed nothing more than what he was at Clemson.
There is a big difference between what Deshaun Watson looked like and what Tom Savage looked like. Tom Savage, he stood in the pocket, tried to climb the pocket, and he would get sacked, or he would get hurried and make a quick throw that he didn't make. We saw Deshaun Watson break the pocket multiple times. He did take 3 sacks, but he broke the pocket multiple times and ran out on the flat. Regardless of an errant throw, it doesn't matter. He still shows more athleticism.
Do you hear yourself talking? Do you hear yourself talking? There are very, very few quarterbacks in the league that can be an outside-the-pocket passer. And outside of that, he went outside the pocket. He was still sacked 3 times, like you just said. That's not okay, especially against the talent that he's playing against. He should be like all these other quarterbacks being successful. At least if he's not taking 3 sacks, in my opinion, is completely unacceptable. Not making any of the throws downfield is completely unacceptable. Being the same exact quarterback from Clemson, which was a mediocre quarterback that relied on his team around him. He has a great defense, but he doesn't have a team around him in terms of offensive line that's going to allow him to be the quarterback that he was at Clemson. If the Texans don't see that, and if they play him this year, They're making a huge, huge mistake, detrimental to Deshaun Watson's future.
Let's stay on the Houston side of the ball here. Deonta Foreman.
Woo!
9 rushes, 76 yards, a long rush of 41. What are you guys' thoughts on him? Plus, also Alfred Blue. I thought he looked very good as well.
Foreman looks like a NFL running back. He looks like, when I was watching him run, he looked like an in-shape Eddie Lacy from his first couple years. He's a bigger back. Looked more physical than he did when he was running in college, which I was extremely happy about. You have to love that 8.4 yards per carry. He is going to get used this year for the Houston Texans. Lamar Miller is still, he's still the guy, but I think his total touches will be going down and Foreman will be gobbling them up.
I don't want to oversell a week one preseason player. With that being said, any Lamar Miller owner, a.k.a. Josh Schultz from our Dynasty League, I'm going to call him out here, or anyone who plans on taking Lamar Miller in the first round or early in the second round, this needs to be an eye-opener. Lamar Miller has not proven himself at any point in his career to be the guy, to be the only guy, and has constantly had other people go and steal carries from him. Deonta Foreman is at least showing that he's going to be either a touchdown vulture or at least a carry vulture.
Which running back would you rather be targeting as a backup? Would it be Foreman or would it be Alfred Blue?
Foreman.
Yeah, Foreman for sure. Blue's been their kind of just journeyman running back that they've kept around through the years of Arian Foster constantly getting injured, through their, hey, we need to have someone. He's been a formidable guy to have back there to just kind of keep them going. But Deonta Foreman's ceiling right now is through the roof. It's absolutely through the roof. If they can have a guy who can get 2 to 3 yards after initial contact, that can be a bruiser, that can keep the defense off the field for a little bit, that's exactly what they need.
I could see this as a situation where Lamar Miller was in when he was in Miami, when it was Lamar Miller, Jay Ajayi, and Damian Williams. You could see the same thing with Lamar Miller, Foreman, and Blue here. Very, very interesting to see how this backfield shakes out. Let's go on the other side of the ball. I'm not going to talk about the quarterbacks. I want to talk about one, Christian McCaffrey.
I liked what I saw out of McCaffrey. He looked good running in between the tackles. We brought it up earlier in this show that he's good at avoiding big contact. He knows when to go down. He goes down early, extremely patient runner, and I think he kind of showed people that he can run in between the tackles. And I don't think we've seen anywhere near what the Panthers are planning on doing with him. They're going to be forcing the football in his hands. They're going to be throwing him the football, tons of checkdowns, tons of screens. He's going to be lined up in the slot at times. McCaffrey's going to do it all, and he's going to help the Carolina Panthers offense become near elite again.
It's just exactly why I had the Carolina Panthers so high in the NFC South, because of guys like Christian McCaffrey. He's going to play a huge role in this offense. It's not going to be all him. There's still going to be Jonathan Stewart. They have a lot of other weapons, which I mentioned earlier, but you know, it's a good debut for him.
Yeah, he's going to be definitely involved with the offense, and it's going to be exciting to see how they involve him. And there was one play in particular that I saw where it was a fake handoff going to the left-hand side, and three defenders fouled Christian McCaffrey, and the ball went completely on the opposite side of the field, and the cameraman even went with Christian McCaffrey. So you're faking out three guys on the defense and the cameraman. I think you're not only going to be a weapon on the field, but a distraction as well.
Oh, yeah. Teams are going to have to game plan for Christian McCaffrey.
Let's go ahead and move on to the Vikings and the Bills game. And again, another rookie running back. We have Dalvin Cook on the Minnesota Vikings. And actually a rookie quarterback that not a lot of people are talking about, Peterman. He has now officially moved to the number two quarterback spot for the Buffalo Bills, with Cardale Jones being recently traded to the Chargers.
One reason why I think Dalvin Cook's kind of being underdrafted right now, especially in PPR, is his ability to catch the football. We saw in this game, 4 receptions, 30 yards, and a limited amount of time. It's going to happen a lot for him this year. He's definitely, it's not a sleeper, but he's being underdrafted in PPR leagues in my eyes. He's going to be the guy in Minnesota between the 20s. Might not be getting all them touchdowns, but he's going to have close to 40 to 50 receptions.
I wasn't overly excited by what I saw from Cook. Obviously, those receptions out of the backfield were fantastic, but I do feel like once Latavius Murray comes back, that it's going to be a close to 50-50 split between the two. They're going to try to figure out who's the guy, and they might try to do what the Atlanta Falcons have done with Devonta Foreman and Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, the other thing is, too, you look at the targets with the running backs. Dalvin Cook had 4 targets, 4 catches. Bishop Sankey had 5 targets, 4 catches. I'm not saying Bishop Sankey's the best running back in the world by any means, but that's 5 targets thrown to the running back position, and that adds up. And Bishop Sankey, he probably wasn't going to get any run at all in the season. It's going to be Latavius Murray.
He's out now.
And he's out, but that's still 5 more targets targeted to the running back spot. So that only helps Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook.
You say Bishop Sankey and the fantasy gods quiver.
Yeah.
If people, listeners out there, want a sleeper, look at Jonathan Williams. Get him late. Look what he did. He was an extremely talented running back out of Arkansas. 4 carries, 39 yards, almost 10 yards a carry. Get him in the 14th, 15th, or 16th round, especially if you have Shady McCoy. He is the backup to own. And look what Mike Gillisley did last year running when Shady got hurt. Shady is going to get hurt this year.
Let's move on to the Falcons and the Dolphins. Game actually ended up really close, but the Dolphins ended up winning this game 23-20. No Jay Cutler in this game, obviously. And Matt Moore, he only threw one pass. We had fails. He actually threw 17 passes, 8 completions, 184 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Daughtry, he had 7 for 12, 69 and a touchdown. The biggest thing that I saw was Stringfellow, a 99-yard reception for a touchdown. He had 2 catches on the day, 116 yards. That's got to be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's really all we got to talk about in this game. I'm looking forward to seeing Jay Cutler play. I believe it's this Thursday. He's making his debut with the Dolphins.
Yeah, you read my mind, Tom. There was really nothing about this game that I saw even worth talking about. You know, you have the Dolphins now, a lot of... You know, week 2 of the preseason is a big week for the Dolphins. I'm not sure if Jay Ajayi is going to play after coming off of the concussion protocol. You have Jay Cutler, who they said they're pretty sure is going to play. You know, Raekwon McMillan is now done for the season for them, their second-round draft pick. So interested to see more of what the Dolphins do this coming up here in week 2 against the Baltimore Ravens.
Let's move on to the Washington Redskins and the Baltimore Ravens. Not much going on here except our boy P. Ryan. And he had 6 carries for 15 yards with a long rush of 11. And we didn't see much else from P. Ryan.
Yeah, Samaje, he had a series. So it started, I believe he fumbled the ball, recovered, went for a loss like 7. Then he missed a block, which got his quarterback sacked. And then he dropped a screen pass. Terrible series. It's not what I like to see from P. Ryan. Kelly's going to be the guy to start the season.
The only thing that this game showed me, outside of what you just mentioned in Samaje Perine, is that Ryan Mallett is not the guy if Joe Flacco is not ready.
Hey,
Ryan
garbage.
Mallett is absolutely just a train wreck. Does not have what it's going to take in order to keep the Baltimore Ravens in that rough division. So, if I'm them, you have to seriously be considering Colin Kaepernick at this point. If they think that they're as good as they are, that defense I think is going to be pretty talented this year. If they want to be competitive, they're going to have to sign Colin Kaepernick.
You know who should sign Colin Kaepernick is maybe the Jaguars, because we're going to talk about the Jaguars versus the Patriots here. Blake Bortles was 3 for 5 for 16 yards. Allen was 5 for 7 for 85 and a touchdown. Chad Henne, 5 for 6, 139 and a touchdown. But the big story we want to talk about is one Leonard Fournette, 9 rushes, 31 yards, and 1 touchdown, long rush of 8 yards.
I'm going to start this strictly because, so in our Dynasty League, Josh has one of the first draft picks, which doesn't start. Round 6 is where we start. Everyone has to keep 5 keepers. Leonard Fournette, watching him run, you see something special. Yards after contact, his initial burst through the hole, everything he does is a top 10 running back. I know he has, was it a high ankle sprain right now? Maybe it's not even that bad.
It's just his foot.
Just an ankle injury of some point apart, but he looks fantastic. Now, obviously, the Patriots, I saw a stat out there, the Patriots are holding out more players than anyone else in the whole league. So, you know, not necessarily playing the number one Patriots defense, but Leonard Fournette is going to be an absolute beast in this league. And when you guys are done, I just want to give you a couple more things on Blake Bortles.
Jimmy Garoppolo on the other side of the ball, 22 for 28 for 235 yards and two touchdowns, took two sacks, 8 yards loss. He's the real deal, right?
Yeah, he's
we
good.
Can say that.
This is pretty much Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers all over again.
Yeah, I think it's safe
like
to say.
It's Tom Brady passing the torch to Garoppolo. It'll happen, I'm guessing, soon. They're going to have to pay him next year. So.
And I will be happy to say, because both of you called me crazy in the offseason, when I said that the Patriots will end up paying Jimmy Garoppolo until Tom Brady is ready to retire. It's either that's going to happen, or Garoppolo is going to get ended up traded to someone for a first-round pick. Blake Bortles. So I want to say there was that stat out there. Blake Bortles has thrown 80 touchdown passes in his NFL career to 9 different NFL teams. Little known facts, he's only played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So pretty interesting there. And then today in camp, AR-15 was super pissed because Blake Bortles overthrew him again and said something along the lines of, like, just fucking throw the ball inbounds. Goddamn, just extremely frustrated. Jesus, which is even more of a reason why I say Leonard Fournette is going to be a big factor for the Jaguars this year.
Let's move on to the Saints and the Browns. And we have DeShone Kizer threw 11 for 18, 184 yards and a touchdown. Again, another rookie quarterback. And then we have rookie running back Alvin Kamara, 4 carries, 35 yards. And I don't think he got a reception, did he? No.
No. That's going to be his primary usage. Kamara, he's kind of being drafted super late right now. A lot of people aren't even talking about him. I've listened to a few podcasts where people don't even know his name, don't think he's going to be fantasy relevant, but he's going to be, people. You have to listen to us. We are a lot smarter than everyone else. We're going to lead you to fantasy glory. If you're in a PPR league, target Kamara late in drafts.
Just watching this kind of proved to me, I feel like the Browns are going to be the only team starting a rookie quarterback coming into the 2017 NFL season, even though I feel like the Chiefs are going to strongly consider it. DeShone Kizer is a big physical athlete of a quarterback. He is, in my eyes, DeShone Kizer and DeShone Watson are extremely similar. They're the same guy. And the Browns have the luxury of not having to worry about what happens. They don't really care. The Texans have to worry about, are they going to compete for the division? Will we have a good, great defense? They don't really know what to do. The Browns don't care. The Browns have a great running back. They have now a fantastic offensive line that can protect a young quarterback. DeShone Kizer has proven that he can do it, and the Brosweiler is just making an absolute fool of himself, in my opinion, in training camp with his responses, what he says to the media. It's a joke.
I want to move on to the Eagles and the Packers. Packers won this game 24-9. The biggest thing that I just want to talk about is the fact that we saw quite a bit of Williams.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that, Tom? And where is he at as a sleeper for us compared to like where Montgomery's getting drafted by teams?
Look, right now, Ty Montgomery, he's labeled the starting running back for the Packers. What he do with the second play of this game, he fumbled it and lost it. He struggles in protecting the quarterback, and that is something Jamal Williams is good at. He doesn't fumble the football. We've been high on Jamal Williams since freaking February,
yep,
before he landed on the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
We said he was going to be a pro. People were saying, oh, he's the 20th to 25th best running back in this draft class. Absolutely nuts. We trusted our eyes, and the Green Bay Packers believe in us. They listen to us, and they have their new future, Jamal Williams. You need to be targeting him. He's going to have a role in this offense.
I'll start by saying, fuck the Green Bay Packers. But with that being said, Jamal Williams looked fantastic. Outside of that, there was nothing in this game.
One thing I do want to bring up is, one, Max McCaffrey. Do you think there's any chance he makes this team with that Dupree injury? He got lit up.
There's a chance, and
it's gonna be tough.
You really never know, especially with the new rules in the NFL. They don't have to make their cuts till super late now, and they're carrying a full 90-man roster till the end of the preseason, which is, it's new, but it's gonna help guys like McCaffrey out.
And I just want to talk about one guy on the other side of the ball, and that is Donald Pumphrey. Pumphrey had 4 rushes for 5 yards. Not very good.
Nope.
But On the other side, for the receiving side, he had 6 targets in the air, caught 5 balls, 12 yards. Now, the yardage is not there, right? But he did get the ball thrown his way quite a bit.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that Donald Pumphrey may have a role in this offense, plus the fact that Jordan Matthews is now out of town, and they keep talking up Nelson Aguilar, but I think Pumphrey may be a benefactor with Jordan Matthews leaving.
They may have tried to get the ball his way. To me, I don't look too far into preseason targets, especially for a running back. That's more of just you have a, you know, when he's playing, you have an inexperienced quarterback who's trying not to get killed out there. So now, with that being said, do I think that they wanted to see if Pumphrey could catch the ball? Sure, absolutely. But there was nothing overly impressive to me.
If I had to bet money, Sproles will have more catches than Pumphrey still this
absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely.
Yep, I agree. Let's go on to the Broncos and the Bears. The Broncos end up winning this game, put up 14 points in the fourth quarter. And I want to talk first with Mitchell Trubisky and Tim Thompson.
I will go ahead and just, I already gave my piece a little while ago, but any...
Hold on.
Yep.
Great start to the game, by the way.
Yeah, super. The first 8 minutes of the game is exactly why, when you guys said, are you excited about this, are you excited about that, why I said, no, shut up, leave me alone. The exact reason why. That is going to be your 2017 Chicago Bears. That in a nutshell. A defense that can do great things, but an offense that is still just absolutely atrocious. Moving on to the future, I mentioned it before, Mitchell Trubisky, as much as I hated the draft pick, gave me something to be excited about. I loved everything about his late first half touchdown. Loved everything about the way that he came out in the second half and was able to hit his wide receivers, made his throws, looked great doing it, and I love the way that he failed at the end. Unable to finish the game off, get that win. I like that for a young quarterback to build him up. So the coaches can say, hey, you know what? You did great, but did we win the game? No, and that's on you because you didn't do what you had to late. There were a lot of things in that game that, you know, on the offensive side of the ball that I was happy about. And then the defensive side of the ball. Loved what Leonard Floyd brought to the table. They showed signs there. Obviously, the Denver had that pick six, but the defense, first team defense, showed a lot of swagger, in my opinion. So I was happy with that.
You were talking about the Bears. I'm going to talk about the Broncos a little bit. D'Angelo Henderson might be the freaking running back for the Denver Broncos' own. Tim, do you believe in C.J. Anderson?
No, sir.
What about Jamal Charles?
No, sir.
I think D'Angelo Henderson can be the guy. I'm going to be looking at him late in drafts. I'm not targeting C.J. or Jamal.
No, you're not. D'Angelo Henderson, all this is doing is making sure that Jamal Charles doesn't play in the NFL this year. That's all this is doing.
I loved him in this game. You had 7 carries, 54 yards, and a tutty.
And 44, I believe, of those yards were on one carry.
41.
Yeah. A third and long, where the Bears' third team defense did back-to-back drives. They gave up a bomb. The safeties just let a guy run by them, and they gave up Henderson. Listen, I love it. I'm happy for him. He's just proving that they don't need a guy like Jamal Charles on their team. That's it.
Let's go back to the Chicago side real quick. Look at the rushing attempts, 36, and the yardage, 173 and a touchdown. It's safe to say that the Bears' offensive line was top 5 for a reason last year.
Yep.
And Benny Cunningham is not the greatest running back, but he looked good. Tariq Cohen, he looked good. Mitchell Trubisky had 38 yards rushing. Kadeem Carey, who has been written off, 31 yards on 4 carries. That team looked very good rushing the ball.
I don't owe you an apology, but I want to build you up a little bit here, Josh, which I don't do very often because I hate you.
Appreciate it.
But you've been on that Tariq Cohen bandwagon. You've been all about that life, and he looked good running the ball. He ran the ball hard. He looked good in space. He looked fantastic. Bears offensive line definitely looks better. I am still very concerned with Kyle Long, how he's being what his issues are. I'm not sure if he fits in with this offensive line anymore, to be perfect. I know he's a Pro Bowl guard for them, yeah. But you know he was kicked out of practice either today or yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
For fighting. You know, he's had his issues. He's still going to play. I still hope he gets up to that level, but yeah.
Next up, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Cincinnati Bengals. I want to first start off with saying that Jeff Driscoll right here juked the hell out of 2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers late in the game, And when they ran into each other and knocked each other over, he was laughing on his way to a touchdown in the end zone. And I thought that was pretty impressive by that guy. He had a great game, 8 for 9, 97 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, and 5 rushes, 34 yards and a touchdown. He's not going to be touching the quarterback 2 status because, one, A.J. McCarron is there. And unless if A.J. McCarron gets traded or Andy Dalton gets hurt, Jeff Driskel is going to be the number 3 quarterback.
Yeah, listen, they had an opportunity to trade A.J. McCarron in the offseason. I believe up to like a 2nd-round pick was offered for A.J. McCarron. They turned it down. So he's going to be the number 2 by far. I'm going to let you guys talk about Joe Mixon because I know how hard you guys are for him. So I'll leave that to you. I will say my biggest takeaway from this game is everyone worried about one Mike Evans. Take a deep breath. He proved it all here. He's still the guy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Anything watching Hard Knocks, I mentioned to Tom before the show, he is just a physical beast. He's a monster. He's bigger than everyone on that team. He's the guy. Jameis Winston loves him, and they proved it here. 58 receptions in a preseason game. I'm all about Mike Evans still being a top 5 wide receiver this year.
Joe Mixon, I think he's as good as advertised, as we have been advertising him. He looked good when the football was in his hands. When he caught that little dump-off pass, he made a lot of magic happen right there. And you have to expect to see more of that. He's going to be the lead dog in Cincinnati. I don't care. I really don't give a shit what these beat reporters are saying about Jeremy Hill. It's not going to happen. If it does, the Bengals are complete morons.
Yeah, Joe Mixon had 6 rushes for 31 yards, and he had that lone reception for, I believe it was 11
or 12.
And, it was, I don't want to say underwhelming, but I guess I hold him in such a high regard. Like, I thought that he was going to have such a breakout performance, but we saw Jeremy Hill in there for a good portion of that, the first couple series of the game, and then we finally saw Mixon. So I really wanted to see Mixon out there and really see what he was capable of. But when he did get the ball in his hands, man, he made people miss and made people look dumb. So it is what it is. I thought he looked pretty decent, but I really wanted to see more of him, I guess. Next up, we have the Steelers and the Giants. Steelers win 20-12. Thoughts on Josh Dobbs?
Yeah, the Steelers are in trouble when Big Ben retires next year.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's ugly.
The Steelers are going to get after it this year, and potentially are going to trade Antonio Brown. That's my thought.
I thought Geno Smith actually looked pretty decent, minus his interception that he had. He did take 3 sacks, but
he's terrible.
His mom thought the
same looked
thing.
All right.
That O-line still sucks for the Giants.
No, nothing about it is good.
Josh Johnson didn't look very good. Davis Webb didn't look that great. Out of those 3, I thought Geno Smith looked the best, and that's still not very good. Wayne Gallman had 5 carries for 11 yards. We talked about him before, and there's really nothing much else on that game. Juju Smith-Schuster had 1 target and only 1 catch, so
I just can't wait till Martavis Bryant plays for the Steelers.
We'll see if he does.
He's going to.
We'll see.
Let's go to the 49ers and the Chiefs. Woo! And we have rookie quarterback CJ, what's his name? Beathard.
Yeah, CJ Beathard, baby.
7 for 11, 101 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I'm going to go ahead and take credit for this.
And Patrick Mahomes the 2nd, 7 for 9 and a touchdown, 49 yards passing.
I mentioned to you guys in our little group chat that I believe he is going to strongly push Alex Smith for the starting job come week 1. He possesses talents and physical attributes that Alex Smith just blatantly does not have. He gives the Chiefs opportunities to win games that Alex Smith doesn't. Alex Smith is a game manager. He is that one who's going to hold the fort down so that defense can do what that defense does. Mahomes is going to put them in positions where the defense put the defense in bad spots, but he's also going to make throws downfield that Smith never will be able to. This is the situation I'm watching most leading up to the NFL season. Alex Smith versus Patrick Mahomes. This is the battle, in my eyes. This is the battle.
What about our boy Joe Williams? 7 rushes, 60 yards. It's pretty impressive.
Josh, your brother, he said, Joe Williams. Who called that? Oh, I don't know. Who said Joe Williams? Another time Pony Keg Sports told you even before he took the field in the NFL, Joe Williams is going to be the guy. Plain and simple.
Perfect fit for San Fran.
Absolutely.
Who's going to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers?
Hoyer.
who's going to be the starting quarterback by the end of the season for the 49ers?
Beat Hard, Barkley, don't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
They want to lose more. They really do. They don't care at this point.
Three wins.
Yeah, I think I am 3-2. Yeah.
Let's move on to the Titans and the Jets. We had Derrick Henry rushing 8 times for 29 yards. And Elijah McGuire, 6 carries, 7 yards. He's the one that has been taking all the first-team carries in practice right now. And then Taylor, the rookie, 4 catches, 56 yards on 9 targets.
My biggest takeaway from this game is, you know what? Christian Hackenberg isn't necessarily your future, but he's a guy who can get you through this year. If you're a Jets fan, see what he can do.
Yep.
See what he can do. He didn't look terrible. I know there's been so many reports out of Jets camp that he's literally the worst thing ever since friggin' rye bread. But let him go out there. Let him be the man and see what he has. You spent the pick on him, so let him go out there and prove it. He's your guy.
Yeah, they're not gaining anything by starting McCown. No. To me, it looks like Robbie Anderson might be the fantasy wide receiver to own for the Jets.
Which is crazy.
And it's not sexy, but if you get him super late, yeah, I guess it's worth the stab.
No, you should only take him if you have 3 receivers die on your team.
Josh, Ted Ginn or Robbie Anderson this season?
Neither one. Ted Ginn for sure. Cowboys and Rams. I want to start off with Gathers. Rico Gathers here. 4 catches, 47 yards, and a touchdown. He is the kid from, where's he from?
Baylor,
I believe. Yes, yep. He played basketball there. And this is back-to-back decent games for him with touchdowns in each one. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
They needed a tight end, and they need another tight end to push Jason Witten. Jason Witten got an extension, but someone's going to need to replace him, and being able to run the 2 tight end set is going to help the Cowboys offense.
No one should push Jason Witten. He might fall over. He's getting old, but we saw the cuts. He's still juking out linebackers left and right. I want to talk about the Rams a little bit. Todd Gurley, he scares me. We prefaced it earlier in the show. Did not look good.
No.
Did not look good at all. It's scary. And Jared Goff did not only overly impress me. So,
the Rams getting Sammy Watkins, does that help one with like Cooper Kupp or no? Does that kind of hurt his fantasy relevance?
I think it'll help Cooper Kupp. It's going to take a lot more pressure off of him. But I'm just nervous about the Rams system right now. Look, Cooper Kupp's probably going to be lined up in the slot a lot. Robert Woods should be lined up in the slot a lot. Tavon Austin should be lined up in the slot a lot. Sammy Watkins is a legit X or Y receiver who should be outside. But who else is going to be lined up outside? And it'll be interesting to see how this passing offense looks.
Woods and Watkins, in my opinion, are the kind of one group.
I didn't even think that both of them were on Buffalo last year. It's kind of crazy. Yeah,
and then Kupp and Austin or another. Like, those are the two. You line them up opposite and see who the hell Jared Goff decides to throw to.
There's another game that
Oakland, Arizona.
What are your guys' thoughts on that game? I didn't...
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought nothing of that game whatsoever. No, it was equivalent to the Hall of Fame game.
Last game I really want to talk about is that Lions and the Colts game.
I really don't want to talk about this game. This is absolutely horrendous for the Colts.
Kenny G, bro.
The Colts look terrible, so we shouldn't talk about them. But, yeah, Kenny Galladay looked like the real deal. Kind of used and abused Quincy Wilson for the Colts, their second-round pick. But he looked good out there. Stafford looked okay. Jake Rudock looked all right. And that running game looked solid for the Lions as well.
Quincy Wilson getting used and abused is one of the best things that could have happened for him
at
this point.
Learning experience.
I'm all about that. And we don't want to forget Seahawks-Chargers was also another game that we don't want to forget about. Again, not a ton there, but...
Yeah, but Mike is... Mike Agent, the friend of the show, former member, he loves Boykin. He thinks he is the next greatest quarterback...
What an idiot.
...in the world, and he's a big dum-dum, in my opinion. Boykin's not very good. He's decent, but he's nothing great.
So, we only have a few minutes left here. Let's go on record. Your favorite part of, and normally we get to news or whatever, but you guys, everyone knows the news going on right now. Your favorite part of week one preseason, or your biggest shocker of week one preseason?
My favorite part of week one preseason was getting to see what all the rookies look like, going from rookie quarterbacks to rookie running backs to rookie wide receivers. getting to see the highlights, all the touches that they got, and how the teams were going to use them.
My biggest shock was Mitchell Trubisky. I did not think he was going to be ready. Look, only started 13 games at college. The last few quarterbacks that have come out with similar amount of starts as Mitchell Trubisky have struggled early in their career and their whole career. Yeah. But Mitchell Trubisky looked like a real NFL quarterback out there. The Bears actually look kind of smart right now, and we'll see what he looks like when it comes to playing real NFL football and teams aren't running that vanilla defense against him, actually sending some exotic blitzes his way and trying to mix up coverages a little more.
To your point, Tom, I will say I was extremely shocked just where the Bears ended up actually looking smart, because they, you know, came back, and Mitchell Trubisky's maturity through all of this has shocked me quite a bit. Just saying, you know, he knows that he's not there yet. He understands everything, and I did not necessarily expect that from him. My biggest shocker was someone who I hated as a fan and torched through the draft and said if he ended up on the Bears, I'd kill myself. DeShone Kizer. I am shocked with what he did with the Cleveland Browns. I do think that he may very well be the starter there. I don't really know why. They have nothing to lose by starting him. They really don't. So,
all right, everybody, that's all we have. Hope you guys enjoyed our show that we had for you and our awesome commercials that we threw on there. So, again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. You guys can email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com. Hit us up on our website, ponykegsports.com. And until next time, we'll be here. See ya.
Peace.